Well, welcome back to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights and information and illumination, having a really interesting conversation with Nadia Boysen and looking at post-treatment, what happens the next day? And do you face it on your own, your family, your friends supporting you? Do you look at therapy and counseling? And that, in fact, it's such an important part of the cancer journey. It doesn't just end when the treatment ends, that healing continues for a long time afterwards. We're going to be moving in another direction and really a very interesting topic. Professor Carol Ann Benn, we are always really so grateful when she takes time, and she's always so generous with her time when she comes on to the show. Professor Benn heads the Multidisciplinary Breast Cancer Center at Netcare Mill Park Hospital, and today we're going to be unpacking medication and why it's important for your oncologist to know what medication you are on, and that includes your supplements, your vitamins, all those natural products that you think are natural, therefore they are harmless. Carol Ann is here to unpack that and see, you know, why it is important and how it could be affecting your treatment. So, Prof, welcome once again. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love being on, and I always feel terrible because it seems like oftentimes I'm overseas and I've got to work out my aisle before and my aisle behind and I get it wrong. So I'm here at the Brain Test. I've got a Minds Clinic today, and it's a privilege to be on. And yes, and I think we're all at fault because, you know, we're worried about, we have a little bit of a cold or flu, or we're stressed and we take something extra, and then we're never quite sure what we're doing or how we're managing it. And I think we need to realize that natural things, be it water, are actually medicines in themselves. So it's not just a case of just add to the numbers or add to the medicines. And I think it's to separate this concept of what I like. Supplement is such a nice word. It's to supplement what you're probably not getting in your diet. And I think the good starting point is to say that cancer happens because of damage in cells, and it's little cell DNAs that damage, and we have repair genes that try and fix it. And from what I call the tumor microenvironment, which is your little immune cells that are trying to kill something abnormal, whether it's a cold or whether it's a cancer. So absolutely, microenvironmental stress is best managed by exercise and maintaining a BMI under 30. And there's excellent information out today on microdosing on GLP-1s, which should be done under a doctor's supervision, for obesity and for inflammation. Then in terms of vitamins and supplements, so around surgery, you've got to be very, very careful. If you're going to have any form of surgery and cancer surgery, you need to disclose everything you're taking to your surgical team. And they will usually advise you stop most things. So you've got to watch omega-3s cause increase in bleeding. What we often do is we check people's vitamin D levels, and if they're low, we supplement vitamin D, and we supplement Zinplex, which is zinc, and we supplement vitamin C. But in terms of big and macro dosings on vitamins, remember each cancer is different and each patient is different. So it's not a panacea of one thing for everybody. So when it comes to big dosing, like should I be having big dosing and vitamin drips, etc., you need to work out you need to discuss with your team what is the type of cancer and should you or shouldn't you. So, for example, someone on CMF shouldn't take big doses of folate. It completely deactivates the chemo treatment. Wow. So I think you have to be very, very clear. This is what I usually take. This is what I'm wanting to increase my doses in. I've had a patient who took berberin, which is a CYP2D inhibitor. So what happens then, what did that mean in clever terms, is it activates liver enzymes, which means the hormonal medication can pass through the liver quicker, and you can then land up with deactivation of your medicines. So there are things that help. You can take curcumin and turmeric in small doses to help with inflammation and joints. But you've got to watch sometimes then in taking big doses of things. Okay.
Wow. Okay. This is this is quite mind-blowing because as I mean, many people think that natural is natural and you are supporting kind of the medication or the treatment that you're on. So I want to just go back because you mentioned like the GLP-1s and you said microdosing. So the GLP-1s, just for someone like me, is that the medication a lot of people are on now, like the Ozempics?
100% and Mounjaros and their new ones, etc. So there are a couple of really interesting studies happening around them and have been. I think I sat in a meeting a couple of years ago from a UK and a Danish meeting point of view. So there's lots of data on inflammation and cancer and obesity and cancer. So definitely it seems, and there are a couple of fairly robust studies out at the moment to show that people who've had cancers, and oftentimes the medicines around treating cancers cause weight gain, and it just becomes a vicious circle. And again, no medicines are to be taken unless it's discussed in a proper team with doctors who just don't know over the counter this and take that, etc. Because there are T's and C's around everything from a safety point of view. But there's definitely good studies on showing using it in the survivorship phase from a helping with getting a BMI down, and I'm being very generic when I talk about BMI. There are lots of other ways that we check these things, is helpful in decreasing cancers coming back. But also, it seems that we've got a very couple nice, interesting studies now to show to prevent cancer, both breast and colorectal, all the ones that are associated with bad fat, right? Okay. There are a couple of interesting studies out at the moment, and this is just a little bit segueing to the left and the right on osteoarthritis and the GLP-1s, as well as on dementia. There's a very nice international study on dementia and the GLP-1s. So I'm not turning around,
She
and every time
was.
someone who hears me on a talk with a patient mentioning it, he says, "Oh, stop with the GLP-1s." So it's not the be all and end all to everything, and I'm not here turning around and saying it's the solution to all life's problems. Every medication, whether it's a natural supplement or medication, has the potential for side effects. And whatever you're taking, it's not just a random pop it off a counter and take it. As different as we all look, different as our physical, different as lots of aspects around us. And when we have diseases, it affects us in different ways. So I'm very much into personalized medicine and careful medicine. Discuss things with a multidisciplinary team. Do not just rush in left, right, and center, which is often what I think people want to do because they want to pick an instant fix, and there sadly isn't to anything.
And of course, there are all these social media is giving you all of this advice. You've got these people saying, take this, you're going to feel this. And people will continue with whatever it is that they're taking while they're going through the treatment. And I think, as you've said, and really this is the main point that's so important, is that it could be harming the treatment. It could be interfering with it. So you've given me a list, and I'd love to just go through the list so people have an understanding for something like and I'm going to say simple as a vitamin B complex, right? I mean, lots of people are taking that, but you're saying that that could be an issue.
So you can take it, absolutely. And we often put people who've had cancer treatment on things like Neurobion because they get sensory and peripheral neuropathies post-treatment. But I always say in conjunction with your medical team. So the problem is sometimes people macrodose it. They go, "Oh, I've got this and I've read online about this." So instead of taking one a day, I'm going to take four or five of this. And then some aspects of what it is in a general vitamin B complex can actually interfere or fast activate some of the treatment you're on. It applies to anything. It's really about being sensible. And so saying, I have been not sensible on exactly this topic almost 15, 20 years ago. And I do these in and out quick trips and run down to the meeting in the freezing cold because you don't want to get a taxi. You're paying in South African rand. And I've got this neuropathy coming up. And I phone Sean and say, I need a brain scan. And he says, it's probably over vitamining yourself. But do you ever listen to your husband? No. So you take more vitamins, and by the time you get back, I then see a neurologist who says there's nothing wrong. And Charles says, I want you to chuck all this stuff in the bin. And I'm a vitamin junkie. I have a
Wow.
box of them. And guess what? It was the Ricol caused a sensory neuropathy because I thought, let me make sure I'm extra fit with my cholesterol. And instead of taking one a day, I'm taking two a day. So, and that is just something simple like trying to maintain a really ultra low on a cholesterol level as you get older. So there are many examples. And I mean, one of our anaesthetists took a, I think it was N-acetylcysteine and landed up in the emergency unit because she had an allergic reaction to it. So they are medicines in themselves. And I'm not poo-pooing supplements. You've heard me. I have a
Yes,
box. Okay. So there's no question. Omega, great for brain health, great for menopausal. You know, the vitamin E's, Zinplex. I try and get my kids to take omega, zinc, and what else is it? Vitamin
C,
D.
vitamin C,
Vitamin D,
yeah,
D, D,
yeah,
omega, and zinc all the time. Okay, because I
yeah.
think a lot of us are vitamin D deficient. Sometimes they're good, but sometimes they're not, right? However, okay, if you land up with other health concerns, let your physician know, and you may need to adjust and dose adjust. So that's really all I'm saying. So if you land up going to surgery, disclose every single thing you're taking. Don't go, I'm going to double up on my this and triple up on my this, and then it thins your blood and you have a bleeding problem. Okay. If you are having whatever oncology or chronic health concern and you're on supplements, let your doctor know. Some you can adjust up and some you can adjust down. But don't just go, right, I'm going to double and triple my dose because clearly it's something I've done wrong that I've got this and now I'm going to add to my vitamins and stuff. Definitely healthy eating. There's no question. You can't go wrong with things like probiotics and liquid probiotics. Gut health is critical. Okay, I quite like the water-based kefirs. I think they're amazingly good and not too much on the dairy side. Very good for gut health. It's all about making sure healthy guts. Okay.
What did you say that is water-based?
Water-based kefir. It's very, very good from a gut health point of view. Probiotics.
Okay.
Probiotics and change up and down your probiotics. So everyone asks me what brand and how many this and how many that. I'm a great believer in you take something for a while and then change your brands. I mean, even I have a little love affair when I walk into a pharmacy and I see the rows and rows of supplements. Okay, but it's very intimidating and don't just be sold anything. You've got to check on terms of the quality and ask what your chronic health concerns are when you just take it. I mean, I'm driving in today on the billboards and I'm coming in at 4 in the morning is take this for stress and that for that, etc. So I'm just saying be sensible.
And it's so important. And there's just something I'd like to delve
Magnesium
into
for
the
sleep,
world of
eh?
homeopathy. Oh, sorry, Prof, what did you say?
Magnesium great for sleep. Really good for estrogen withdrawal, headaches, and sleep magnesium. A patient recently who had a reaction to it. So it's not everything for everyone, but I often say magnesium great for sleep. So there are many things out there. So we want people being sensible. Talk to me about homeopathy.
And
There's
treat
a
it
difference
with
between
respect. You're
pure
saying treat it
and
with respect.
absolutely. There's a difference between pure homeopathy and what people think they're taking from a homeopathy, which is a mixture of that and herbs. So pure homeopathy in terms of how it is put together on the very, very low doses is usually fine. Okay, it's like tissue salts, etc. But again, people will, I say to you, tell your doctor in case they want things stopped before you have, for example, surgeries. Often what people think is homeopathy, they're taking a mixture of put together from a herbal point of view. And I'm not anti the concept. There's a lot of science in old medicine, old Chinese medicine. There's a lot of way how things are done, but you really we have to be completely open with our healthcare team about what we're on and what needs to be stopped or taken. There's a very nice site that I often refer people to. It's a free site by Memorial Sloan Kettering, and it's called About Herbs. Let me see, it's on my medical here. And what that means is that people who are taking, yes, it's called About Herbs, and it's through Memorial Sloan Kettering, and you can always put in, it tells whether you are you a healthcare professional or just a consumer, what are you taking, and is it safe or not? So it gives you all the, it collects out all the international data on it, and it's a sensible way to go. And
Amazing.
it's a free app that you can download.
About herbs, about herbs. I just, a few years ago, I had a homeopath come onto the show, and we were talking about using homeopathy as it's like a, yeah, like you complementing it is, it's a supplement, but you are supporting, it's a supporting of the treatment that you are going through.
But
And
then the team must discuss it with the homeopath. Is
that's
it pure
it.
homeopathy? So I've done, I think we've done three research projects through the Technicon when they were running the homeopathy program through there. One to look at, could we manage fibroadenomas, and it was a failure. One to look at is some of the medication, and remember, it's individualized per person for supportive care on chemotherapy. And that showed some value. I mean, there's definitely value on acupuncture, on nausea and chemotherapy. There's definitely value on things like music therapy when you are going on treatment. Absolutely. Hypnotherapies, they're different ways of managing things. So I have you sent me a message about next month from a survivorship point of view. I've got a very strong survivorship team, Liz Hart and Lorna McCrindle, and I would recommend having them on. And we webinars around things about mindfulness, sleep, understanding all these things, which is really important, because treating a person with cancer is not just about chemo, radiation, medication, and surgery. It's about the whole person. So we have to have these conversations about who's taking what, and can you talk to your doctors? And if your doctors say, we're not prepared to discuss these natural medicines with you, then you need to contact in with pleasure. And you know me, I don't do this for getting more work. We'll contact you in with the survivorship team, people who are willing to talk to you and guide you, because a lot of us get it wrong with vitamins and supplements, and we would actually like to get it right.
Prof, won't you please just tell us what a survivorship team is all about?
So I think that anyone who is diagnosed with a cancer needs support beyond their clinical support. It is traumatizing and it's frightening. So often just from a life coaching, understanding how to manage, because you have to manage. We're full of fear and we don't know what to do and where to turn for. It's around managing side effects of treatments, okay? Both from a natural and a supportive care and a mindfulness and an exercise, and it's post-active treatment as well. So many times, and it always fills my heart with joy when I saw somebody yesterday who was 28 years out from when I treated them. Okay, fine. But then you ask them on their post-cancer journey, how are we managing exercise, lifestyle, diet, that post-traumatic stress of every time you go for a mammogram, what if they find something else? I mean, I've just had a WhatsApp now from someone to say, please, 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 I need to, please to chat because they are worried about something on a mammogram. So they're all those things that, and that is what a survivorship team does. So it makes that transition from active treatment and help around the side effects and moving on with your life, because a lot of people don't want to come back and sit in the oncology suite. They have severe trauma about it after just for a regular follow-up.
And it's our first guest. It was so interesting because she is a counselor, an oncology counselor, and a cancer survivor, and she was sharing that as well. So important. Prof, it's always just such a pleasure having you on the show. There's always so much information that we get to unpack in a short period of time. Before we let you go, because we know how busy you are, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to share or reiterate?
So I really think I want to stress how traumatizing it is for someone to go through a healthcare crisis, and that It's not, I want to always say it's nothing you've done wrong. Disclose what you're on from a supplement. Disclose how you are trying to add or subtract from it with your medical team. Make sure you get support. Okay, and then just be careful of the fly by night. Oh, if you take this, we're going to cure this 100%. One of the, I think, I don't know if you've seen it, I wrote on the Ugly Five. So I'm not anti-ivermectin, get me here, but ivermectin needs to be studied properly. It's not just use it for every solution to everything. Okay, you don't just take medicines just because, whether it's Augmentin, ivermectin, anything. Okay, so it's not the be-all solution. The vitamin B17 actually was used in the 1970s, tried in the US. It actually converts the apricot kernels, it converts to, I think it's arsenic, which is
Gosh.
fully absorbed within your body and can kill you. So
Gosh.
don't just think, I'm going to take this because I've seen it on a YouTube that it's the solution. If someone tells you they've got 100% cure, I'm going to tell them, including us, rubbish. Each person's different, each cancer's different, and they must show you the data. If you tell someone you've got 100% success rate, pull 100 patients from your study and give them the numbers and show them that you've treated them properly. Be careful, people. Don't be scared of second opinions. It's your body, it's your life.
Amazing advice. I wish we could repeat those last few lines over and over again. It is your body, your life, your choice, and know what you're doing. Don't just pop anything. So, Prof, thank you so much for joining us. As I said, always a pleasure and really much gratitude.
Okay, take care now. God bless.
Thank
Bye bye.
you. Bye-bye. Professor Carol Ann Benn, who heads this multidisciplinary breast cancer center at Netcare Mill Park Hospital. And really such sage advice, right? I mean, it can be so confusing. It can be so overwhelming. Make the right choices. This is your body. Ask doctors, read up. Don't just listen to everybody's different opinions, and know that natural medication could harm or interfere with your treatment. So I hope you got all of that. It has been such a joy being in your company today. For me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, take care and goodbye.